Saga Egmont presents Spirit Warriors by Ashley Thorpe, read by Esme Sears. Prologue. A Kompong Town, Jamaica, 1953. In a kompong, Obeya magic ran deeper than the roots of its kinder tree, the leafy giant that stood sentry at the heart of the town. On an evening of ritual celebrations, the townsfolk gathered under its branches, dressed in rich kente cloth and with feet bare to feel the earth between their toes. They danced in the fading light of the sun, giving thanks to their African ancestors for the gift of magic. They waited excitedly for the youngest generation's powers to awaken. Would their child become a diviner and receive visions of the future? Would they become a healer, able to cure people by absorbing the qualities of plants and herbs? Perhaps a gifted enchanter, able to control objects or an element? Or perhaps that rarest of all abilities? They might become a spirit waker, a living link to the spirit world, able to communicate with the ancestors themselves and awaken latent magic in others. A young woman in a blue head wrap sat apart and watched the celebrations from a distance. Unlike the revelers, she was an outsider, born in Jamaica's capital city, Kingston, and had arrived in this remote maroon township only a year ago, during a time of great personal loss and heartache. The wound, unhealed, opened up again at the sight of the village children dancing without a care, because she knew that her daughter would have been old enough to awaken her magic here too. No more than 6 years old, the children moved instinctively, losing themselves to the melody and rhythm. The drums called to a voice deep within them, urging them to wake up. Their first sparks of magic appeared, born from the great energy called Obeya. As they leaned into these flashes of magic, the sparks became colourful auras, encompassing them as though the spirits of the children manifested outside of their bodies. They realised with glee what kind of mage they would become. There was the rich blue of the enchanters, the deep red of the diviners, and the placid green of the healers. However, there was no majestic purple of the spirit wakers among them. The hand drums and singing crowds grew louder, more jubilant. The young woman, though, felt more distant. She blinked away tears for the daughter she'd lost. A shadow fell at her feet, along with two long black feathers. A large turkey vulture, or jankro, as Jamaicans called them, loomed by her side. The white tip of its curved beak looked deadly, and a beady eye glared amidst the grisly pink skin of its head. "Are you going to follow me everywhere I go?" asked the woman, turning away from the bird. "You never told me to go away," answered the jankro, "because you know me can help you. We can help each other." In the humid, breezeless air, somehow the young woman felt a chill. Her fists clutched her dress at the knees. The jankro wasn't a bird, not truly, just the vessel for a spirit waker who secretly controlled it to do their bidding. "Your daughter and your husband, you can have them back, my dear, in this life, in a new world of our creation. But to do that, you know what we have to do. We have to harness the great magic of the four heroes of Jamaica." The woman's knuckles grew paler from gripping her dress so tightly. "Why don't you show yourself to me, your real self?" the jankro cawed. "Me will reveal everything to you as we build a new world." The young woman hesitated. "Can I trust you?" "I awakened your magic, no? You sought a spirit waker to commune with your last family and you found one. I am the only one who truly understands your pain."
With the instincts of a predator, the jankro shuffled even closer.